Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the New Year's Resolutions Department here at Car Talk Plaza. Do you have any?
I hope you've made some. I just want to read you this little note that might help you.
Go ahead.
Auto mechanic Kenneth Arrowwood filed a lawsuit for $2,613 in Cleveland against his mother, citing her failure to compensate him for fixing her pickup truck. A week later, Hazel Arrowwood, 78, filed a countersuit pointing out the many uncompensated services she had provided for him over the years as mother, cook, nurse, and bail bondsman, among other things, and recommended that the court give Kenneth the whipping that he so rightfully needs and which I failed to give him as a child. Now, you ought to fix your mother's car because you're going to get into a lot of trouble.
I hope she has to pay up. She tried to stiff him for $2,600.
Well, she didn't have to pay up. She won the suit.
She did?
Yeah.
There's no justice in this world.
You know, I have Mary Poppins syndrome.
Yeah?
I'm practically perfect in every way. So whenever it comes time to make resolutions, I mean, I don't have any to make. I mean, what... Could I get... Does it get any better than this?
That's what scares me, I guess. If you'd like to talk to us, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Luann from Portland.
Hi,
Luann. How are you?
I'm fine. How are
you? Now, this Portland, Maine or Oregon?
Oh, I should have said Oregon.
Oregon. You have a New Year's resolution, Luann?
You know, I'd like to read all of the Daily Variety and Hollywood Reporters that my friends from L.A. have faithfully been sending me.
Ah!
That are sitting here collecting dust.
Gee, you know, that reminds me, I do have a New Year's resolution, which I completely forgot. My goal...
I guess you didn't think hers was worthy of
discussion.
No. You didn't say, wow, Luann, that's a great resolution.
It is. No, it is a great one. I'll tell you why, because mine is very similar. I should resolve...
Hers is great because it's similar to yours. That means that yours is great.
Will you shut up for a minute? I am resolving to read every single one of the Cliff's Notes. I am going to be the most well-read man on the planet. I will know the plot outlines of every single piece
Everyone of knows when you've only read the Cliff's Notes.
I heard you guys were PhDs.
Yeah, so?
Well, no, we are
you
not.
You should have read those Cliff Notes in college.
No, because when you're a PhD, you only read weird, esoteric stuff. And you never get a chance to read the real classics of the world unless you get a PhD in what? English, which
right.
I neglected to do.
So you want to read the classics. You want to read Moby Dick and
Dick, Mice and Men, the whole crowd, the sun rises, the sun sets, Death of a Shoe Salesman. I want all of those.
Shoe clerk. All right, Luann, we've wasted enough of your precious time.
Well,
wait a
minute.
What do you really want?
When I read a book, I'll call you and you read an issue of Variety.
Gotcha.
What do you say? We'll make a little pact here.
Okay,
well, thanks for calling.
Wait a minute, she didn't ask her a question.
Well, people don't always have to ask a question. People can call and just discuss something. Why does it have to be a question? Maybe Luann would like to discuss things. What do you
want to
talk about, Luann?
Cliff's Notes.
Cliff's Notes.
What do you want to discuss?
Well, I have a Honda Civic, and it's fouling plugs. Doesn't that sound like I know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it does sound very professional.
It was running on three cylinders, I found out, so I took it somewhere, and they said that this plug was fouled terribly.
Mm.
And I didn't know what to do, so I just had them put in a new plug, and I drove it around for a couple of months, and it did the same thing.
Does that mean, like, little chickens are in there?
I wish it were that simple.
Yeah.
Because the mechanic said, after looking at it and talking to me, that it's either the seals or the rings, and... So that means it's either $200 or $500, and they don't know which it is, and they said it's a problem common to Hondas.
Oh,
this only has 45,000 miles.
Oh.
Now, wait a minute. You say it's fouling plugs. I'm going to have to ask you, is it oil fouling them or gas fouling?
I think oil.
Yeah.
But we'll assume for the sake of this discussion that you are oil fouling the plugs.
Uh-huh.
That is, oil somehow is getting on the spark plugs. It's unlikely to be the rings.
Is that good, then?
That's good.
Well, that's good. First of all, $500 for rings is an awfully low price. So he made a mistake on that.
That's by the each.
So you're very lucky that it's not rings.
Mm-hmm.
And it could well be valve guide seals.
Yeah. He doesn't want to do the job, does he?
Oh, they...
Is it the dealer?
No.
No, no. It's a mechanic, and I can't afford to do it yet, so I've been driving around on another spark plug waiting for this to happen. But the weird thing is, twice while it was okay, it did this weird rumbling thing that made me think, uh-oh, it's happening again.
Uh-oh. Yeah, well, it may have been happening a little bit. You quasi-fouled the plug, and it ran rough and shook like crazy, and then it may have cleaned itself up.
Oh.
Right.
Does it burn a lot of oil?
I don't think so, because I get the oil changed every 3,000 or so, and they never said, like, it looks horrible or anything.
Yeah, the rumbling is just because if it's fouling, it's really running on three cylinders instead of four, and you just got into a situation where you didn't have enough power on three cylinders, and it started shaking.
Yeah, so that explains that.
I would go to the dealer, because this should not happen to a Honda Civic with 45,000 miles on it.
No, you may be eligible for relief.
For the contest?
No, you may be eligible to have this repaired for free.
Sure. I would insist on it.
Huh.
Yeah, you don't sound whiny enough, though, Luann. You don't. You sound too nice.
I can whine.
You can whine?
You can whine.
You can whine with the best of them?
Yeah.
Well, if you're a real whiner, then you can probably get it done for free. You should first of all ascertain that it is the valve guide seals, and they may even have a service bulletin on it.
Mm-hmm.
But the Honda dealer is certainly going to know more about it than this fellow that's working on it, and certainly
right.
more than we do.
And the independent mechanic is hardly likely to do it for free, but there is some chance that the Honda dealer will do it for free.
Okay.
So I would go in there and insist.
Demand.
Demand even.
Right.
And if that doesn't work, then go fall back on whining. You have trouble with that. I'll give you my wife's number.
Where are you sleeping tonight?
On the couch.
But I think you have a good chance of getting them to do something for free, or at least at considerably reduced cost, because at 45,000 miles, this thing should not need valve guide seals or rings, especially if you can prove to them that you've done the recommended maintenance as
right.
far as the
right.
oil changes are concerned.
And if he gives you a hard time, tell him not even General Motors cars need valve guide seals at 45,000 miles.
Okay.
Right, so
I don't want to put the fear of God into him.
Good luck, Luann.
Thank you very much.
Give him a tough fight. Bye-bye.
Thanks, bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Nate from Burtonsville, Maryland.
Nate?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's up, Nate?
So I have this car. It's a 1992 Acura Integra LX, mm-hmm. or LS, excuse me.
Yeah.
And it has a clutch problem. And that is sometimes when I'm engaging the clutch, when it gets to the top of the travel, it catches, and then it releases, and it sort of shoots towards my foot. And I've had the clutch cable replaced. I've had the different linkages and articulations lubricated, and it still happens, and mostly in the summer.
Really?
Hmm.
Yeah, I'm wondering if it's correlated with, you know, when the puzzler's on vacation.
Now, when you said... It engages. Did you say it engages at the top, or did I have the comma in the wrong place?
No, it engages in the right place. But
low to the floor.
In the middle.
Low to the floor in the middle, where it's supposed to.
Where it's supposed to. And then as you're taking your foot off the clutch.
Mm-hmm. It sort of acts like it catches, it sticks, and then it pops the rest of the way.
Ah.
Okay.
Okay.
So what is it?
Well,
I'm working on it.
I'm trying to remember what's under the dash, because I think that's where your problem is.
Wires. A lot of wires under there.
A lot of wires. Car alarm.
No, I think 92 Integra.
Mm-hmm.
It's so hard. You know, back in the old days, people would call up and say, well, I got a 57 DeSoto.
Well, you know what the problem is? You should be a doctor. Someone calls. You're a doctor?
Well, a PhD, a rat doctor.
Oh, come on. PhDs aren't doctors.
Right.
Don't tell my mother that.
We won't tell your mother.
We're not
going to
tell
everyone
that.
Else.
But a doctor, he just says, are you male or female?
Well, that's been my contention.
Roughly how old are you? But most of the time, he doesn't even care how old you are.
It's my contention that cars are more complicated than medicine. Medicine, you got one make, two models.
Exactly, and they never change.
Not
Everything's
much.
The same.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, when they open up somebody.
And they say,
They don't look and say, oh, Jesus, got an automatic adjusting clutch. I didn't know that. All the kidneys are the same. A kidney's a kidney.
Right. If you got
Come
a bad
on.
One, they take it out.
Take it out. They replace everything. They don't fix nothing.
Right. The only thing they're lacking is rebuilt parts.
Yeah, they're working on that.
They're working on that.
Well,
I think.
Well, I think I know what's wrong with it, but I don't know for sure.
Give me a guess.
I believe what this has is an assist spring underneath the dash to in fact, make the pedal easier to work. And I think that mechanism underneath the dash is broken or the spring is disconnected or some such thing.
Do you hear any noise at the moment that it frees up and comes back up?
Yeah, you'll hear a little pop because, you know, when it gets to the top of the throw, it's now, you know, hit there with...
All right, let's go back for a minute.
Okay.
The guy that put the cable in, when he did it, he knew right away it didn't fix it.
No, he didn't, because it worked for a little while after that. And he did experience the problem. Said, I think maybe your clutch cable's twisted.
Oh, so it doesn't do this all the time.
No, and like I said, it mostly in the summer when it's warm.
All right.
Well, thanks for the call, Nate.
Binding. Maybe the release bearing is binding on the collar.
Release bearing binding on the collar.
That's good. That's good.
That's a possibility. That would be a warm weather phenomenon. Ask him if you'll lubricate the clutch fork.
Lubricate the clutch
fork? Yeah, I mean, don't bother doing it now because the problem doesn't occur now.
Mm-hmm.
But when it gets warm again and the problem returns, have him see if he can squirt some lubrication onto the throwout bearing where it rides on the collar.
Wait, but why would that happen in the summer? It would happen in the winter.
I don't think so. Things expand and heat up in the summer.
All right, so
it's entirely a guess. I mean, the problem is either there or it's under the dash.
Okay.
And I have to say that I'm going with the release bearing.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I'm going with early release bearing myself.
I have to say that I don't really believe it in my heart.
No, I don't either. But we had to give you an answer, otherwise you'd stay on the phone with us forever. Now we can say goodbye.
Well, thanks a lot.
Hey, Nate, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, sure. See you later.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Natalie from Mercer in Washington.
Hi, Natalie.
Attired. How are you?
I'm good.
From where in Washington?
Mercer Island. It's about...
Oh, Mercer Island. Oh, I'm sorry. I heard... Yeah, I know where it is.
Okay.
Sure.
Not really.
It's out there in the water, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're surrounded by water. All right.
Yeah, so what's up?
Well, I was driving my dad's car kind of with his permission.
Uh-huh.
And I dented it.
Uh-huh.
And I need to find the fastest, cheapest way to get it fixed before he gets back from his trip.
Really? First of all, what kind of a car is it?
It's a Chevy Venture.
How old are you?
17.
Oh, you're in deep doo-doo.
Yeah.
How big is the dent?
Kind of big.
Kind of big.
Well, could you put a Volkswagen in the dent?
No.
How many different portions of the vehicle are involved? Like the front door, the fender, the door, the next door?
The sliding door, and then there's a scrape on the right passenger door.
Oh, you're looking at mucho bucks here. When are you coming home?
Next Saturday.
You got no chance.
Okay.
No. Come on, let's be creative.
Well, it's easy. I mean, the creative solution is that she lies. I don't know. I didn't do nothing.
No. I mean, wait a minute. How old is Dad?
He is 60.
60.
He's 60.
Can he see?
He might not remember that there wasn't a dent there. Yeah, I mean, he's not going to see this thing if you parked it correctly.
Yeah, but how long is that going to last?
Well, until he drives it once.
All he's got to do is drive it once, and then he'll blame himself.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, if he's any kind of a parent with a teenage daughter, the first thing he's going to do is take a walk around.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's going to look at the surveillance tapes.
You got, depending on how deep the dent is, you could have $1,000 worth of damage,
easily.
And then some.
And you don't have that kind of money.
No.
So you've got to rely on either deception or you can throw yourself on the mercy of the court. Is Dad a forgiving type? I mean, after he locks you in your room.
Hello, Natalie.
Well, the thing is, my older sister had already totaled two cars by the time she was my age, so I think he'll probably forgive me.
Oh, so you're way ahead of the game.
Yeah.
I mean, did you have permission to use this vehicle?
Well, I had permission from my mom.
Oh, good enough. You said, hey, Mom, can I borrow Dad's car? Mom said yes. If Mom didn't have authority to say yes, then it's on her.
Right.
Right? I mean, if she did have authority to say yes, then you had an accident.
Does she know about the dent?
Yes, she does.
Oh, no, if you're going to lie, then you've got to implicate her, too.
Of course. Ooh. No, you can't do that.
Oh, no, you can't. You got to tell the truth.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would say you just say, Dad.
Mom cracked up the car.
Right, exactly. We're working on the same level there.
Well, good luck. I trust that Dad will be merciful.
Okay.
And he'll do the right thing.
Yeah, no, you've done everything right. The law said you could drive. Your mother said you could drive that particular car. You did nothing wrong because accidents happen. They especially happen to 17-year-olds because you're a bunch of morons and you shouldn't be driving.
It will help when you fess up to Dad, it will help if you look like you've been crying. So do something with the makeup.
Okay.
Okay, see you, Natalie.
Yeah, I like that.
Bye.
Dad, I have to tell you something. Yeah, see, he'll think that she's dying of some horrible disease, and when she tells him it's only a little scrape on the car, he'll say, Natalie,
come on, what do I
care about that? As long
as
long as you're safe, my child.
As long as you're okay. I love it. Okay, Tommy, look, it's time for us to take a little break and give our listeners a chance to stretch their legs.
And readjust their earplugs.
We'll be back in a minute.
Don't hit them brakes. Don't turn that wheel. The life you save, it could be our next meal. Four-legged critters make tasty dinners. When something splatters, we'll make a platter at the Roadkill Cafe. We'll do it up your way. We'll cook it fresh right from your grill to ours.
And even though NPR's insurance agent doubles our slander premiums whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
You know, I drive junky cars.
Hello, this is Nina Totenberg.
When my husband and I were courting, he was really scandalized by my very old Mazda 626. And when we were invited to a state dinner at the White House, he said that I should rent a fancier car. I refused, of course. It's amazing to think that I could turn that dumpy car into my favorite programs.
Just visit the Car Talk vehicle donation program at cartalkvdp.com. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and not the answer to last week's puzzler.
But I spent all week working on it.
Oh, you did my foot.
I did. The puzzler has the week off, doesn't it?
Yes, the puzzler has gone home for the holidays.
There is home for the puzzler anyway.
Well, on top of the commode in my hall bathroom. Anyway, this means you've got some extra time to work on the current puzzler, which you can find at our website, cartalk.com. And if you have a question about your car, you can call us right now at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Toast in Philadelphia.
Toast.
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 Toast?
Toast.
Like?
Bread.
Yeah?
Butter.
Okay.
He's dry toast.
Your name is Toast?
Yes.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, I kind of like it. Better than Click and Clack, huh?
Was it your idea or you got a wacky parent?
No, it was a given name. A friend of mine with a craving for breakfast food gave it to me.
Hey, that's not bad. I mean, it could have been like cornflakes or muesli.
Toast. Well, toast is good.
That's a first for me.
Do you have a New Year's resolution?
Well, we have a baby due on the 5th of January. So,
oh, that's
our
good.
New Year's resolution is just to survive the year.
Yeah.
Do you have a name picked out for the baby yet?
We have a couple, but we can't agree on that. I think we're sort of going to decide during labor.
I like bread and butter.
Well, give us
I like toast
and
jam.
What are these names that you can't agree on?
Jam.
Well, we've got Rowan and Solstice and some unusual ones like that, but I think the family wants something more simple, like a Michael.
Michael.
Solstice is good.
Yeah.
I'm partial to Equinox myself. Okay, now we know you're a complete wacko, so what do you want to talk
about?
What
kind of a Peugeot do you own, Toast?
No, it's better than a Peugeot. It's a VW 88 Golf.
Uh-huh.
And the problem is, we used to live on the West Coast, and we had to move to Philadelphia, which is a problem in itself. But
did the neighbors force you out or what?
No. But we're stuck out here, and it really rains badly out here. You know, lots of rain. And my husband was driving down the freeway. Mm-hmm. And we had about 1 to 2 inches of water on the freeway.
Uh-huh.
And the battery lost all of its power gradually. It just slowly lost power until the car stopped. So we thought, well, what's going on here? And we had the battery recharged. And then the next time it rained, it discharged again. And since then, we've had the battery replaced. We've had the alternator replaced. We've discovered it does this even if the car is just sitting on the side of the road, you know, out front. If it rains really hard, the battery will discharge. And it doesn't discharge completely. It, like, the clock will work and the lights will work, but it won't start the car.
Toast, come on. Give us a break, will you? Give us a break.
Yeah. I'm convinced that somebody must have had some kind of a contest arranged.
See if we can stump the chumps. Make up some ridiculous story.
No, I swear. And even if you drive through a puddle, the car will slowly lose power and it'll go. It loses RPMs and the little battery idiot light will go on.
Well, let me get this straight. Even if the car is parked, let's say there's a torrential rainstorm.
Right.
You don't go out. You just stay home.
We just stay home, and the rain pours down on the car, goes through something. It grounds the battery somehow and drains the battery. We don't know how it's happening. And they've replaced the alternator, and they're saying they need to do that again, and we're just like, no, that didn't solve the problem.
Here's what's going on with it.
All right.
I don't know exactly how this is happening.
Well, I've got a theory,
There's a certain confluence of cosmic energies involved.
I might have to get this article.
Are getting water into the fuse box.
Oh.
And what's happening is, because water is getting into the fuse box, and Volkswagens are famous for this,
mm-hmm.
something is turning on even when the car is parked. And you say there's enough energy to run the clock. Mm-hmm. Or you can run the clock with a flashlight battery.
No.
I mean, I have a clock that runs on a flashlight battery. It's running for 5 years. So yeah. It doesn't take much energy. So the battery can get really run down. And what's running it down, perhaps, is it's something like the fuel pump relay is getting shorted by the water that's getting in the fuse box. And maybe the fuel pump is running for a few hours.
Oh.
So you go out. So let's say it's rained, and it would be determined whether or not the car started in the morning by when the rain started. So let's say the rain started at 8 p.m. and you were parked all night long. It's very possible that the car wouldn't start the next morning.
Right.
However, if the rain starts at midnight, the car might start. It might start.
Do you have any evidence about when the rain starts and when it does?
Of course she does.
Every time it rains, this happens?
Although we haven't gotten that specific about it yet.
Oh, you haven't.
No, but I mean, maybe we should.
Here's what you do. Have your mechanic take the fuse box out. There are like 10 million wires that plug into it.
Okay.
But they all unplug. And if he's lucky, he'll remember where they all go. But you really can't screw it up because they can only go one place. They're all these color-coded plugs.
Okay.
And when he takes the fuse box out, I bet when he shakes it,
mm-hmm.
water will come out of it.
Ah.
Or some of the other components. And then you have to figure out where the water's coming in. It's either coming in through the fender or the windshield or someplace like that.
Now, maybe we need an umbrella.
Well, you need is a garage.
See, another possibility. Has anyone ever, like, raised the hood and looked when this has happened? Because another possibility is that water might be just resting on top of the battery. If that's the case, water is a conductor.
Evidently, my brother didn't have a New Year's resolution about giving stupid answers.
No, it's as we know, batteries do drain even if there's dirt on them.
They can drain in the rain.
They
yes,
drain
they
in the rain. And
yes.
Because current can flow from one terminal to the other through wet, damp dirt.
Okay.
So it might be as simple as that.
All right, we could check that first.
Yeah, don't.
I would definitely check that before
frankly,
I started taking.
I don't think I'd waste my time on that particular avenue. I would just go right to the fuse box.
I wouldn't waste my time on the fuse box until I was absolutely sure. Did you mention in all of this story that they had ever replaced the battery? No.
Yeah, we replaced it twice.
Yeah, I would guarantee you, if you went out and bought one of those cheesy car covers,
okay,
the ones, you know, you drape over the car,
right,
and the next time it rained, you covered the thing up.
Yeah,
it would be fine.
Oh, that would definitely do it.
All right, cheesy car cover.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's nice about those real cheap ones is that in the winter, they freeze.
Right.
And then you can lift it off like in one big piece.
And then you can leave it in your driveway right. And someone will think you're there.
Oh, you can leave it in the street and then no one would take your
No one would take your parking space.
Exactly.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
Got it.
Hey, good luck, Toast.
Thank you.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Major Tom Abbott from Colorado Springs. I'm an Air Force pilot stationed here.
Hi, Major Tom. Can we call you Major Tom?
Major Tom, ground control.
From where? Colorado Springs?
Colorado Springs.
Is there an Air Force base there?
There is. The Air Force Academy is here. Peterson Air Force Base is here.
Yeah. Air Force Academy
yeah,
is there.
Yeah, there you go. Pretty good, huh?
You know, I almost was a colleague of yours, Major. I could have been. I could have been.
You could have been.
I was.
You know, I've heard that a few times.
Well, he learned the song. You know, they took the blue from the skies. You know
what song is that?
Oh, never mind.
I was in Air Force ROTC, Major Tom.
So was I.
Yeah, and I mean, I could today be a pilot.
Well, you'd have a show called Plane Talk.
Plane Talk. Plane.
Plane and simple talk.
Oh man, that would be great.
Yeah.
So you got a problem with your F-15 or MiG or whatever those you guys are flying around in these days?
F-16.
F-16.
Right.
No problems there, but I do have a problem with an 89 Jeep Cherokee Laredo 4x4.
Oh.
I've had it mostly in Phoenix and never in icy, snowy climates until I moved here to Colorado Springs. And I was driving along one day on a new snowy, icy road, and I was in 4 high, and this has also happened in 4 low. The car began rotating counterclockwise. It wasn't so much a skid. It just actually started rotating. Mm-hmm. I'd take my foot off the brake, off the gas, and turn the wheel clockwise to counter.
Yeah,
right, right.
And it'd just keep going. I mean, it just kept rotating. I went right up over the median and was able to pull out. But this has happened 3 or 4 times. And whenever I'm on an icy road and I lose traction, it's always a counterclockwise rotation. It's
well, you know why?
Tires.
Because you're in the northern hemisphere.
I knew you were going to say that.
Didn't they teach you about the Coriolis force?
Yeah. The first thing I did was run home and look at the way the water went down the toilet.
So the rear end starts coming around from over your right shoulder.
Yes.
Well, that's disconcerting, isn't it?
Man, it is.
Yeah, it is. I'm not sure what kind of four-wheel drive system it has, whether it transfers to all wheels or all four wheels. It's, you know, it is an 89.
Yeah. The 89 has the most rudimentary four-wheel drive.
Yeah.
I mean, what it does basically is it has a transfer case that sends power equally to the front and rear wheels.
Right.
Okay, and there is no center differential like modern vehicles
have. So anything can happen.
So on turns, especially if you have traction, but you're driving in a situation where you have no traction. So for all intents and purposes, you have a center differential, which is the ice.
Yeah, well,
and the reason it's going out of control, I hesitate to mention, is that you're driving too fast.
No, that's not happening. This is happening at 25, 30, 35 miles an hour.
It is. Well, it could be that that's too fast. I mean, are you really on ice when this happens? I mean, complete ice?
Well, no. New snow and ice. But I'm not driving any faster than the traffic around me, and I'm driving straight and level down a flat road.
Yeah. Have you ever tried it in those conditions without four-wheel drive engaged at all?
Yes.
And how is it, better or worse? I'm guessing it will be better.
Why would that be?
Because you got four-wheel drive. And four-wheel drive isn't for driving. Four-wheel drive is for barreling out of a pile of snow.
On this vehicle, on more modern vehicles, or vehicles that have a center differential, you can drive the thing in four-wheel drive all the time because it will allow the four wheels to turn each at a different speed.
Right.
But your vehicle won't allow that.
Right.
And it
doesn't take much. I mean, a slight curve in the road, and all of a sudden you're spinning around.
So you're saying that I'd be better off driving in two wheel high in these conditions?
Right.
I think so.
In fact, there's no reason to be in four wheel drive whatsoever if you have this type of vehicle without a center differential, unless you're stuck.
Right.
Unless the snow is so deep that you're slogging along at 5 miles an hour. But if you can do 25 or 30, and don't forget, everyone else who's driving along and isn't skidding all over the place probably has a two-wheel drive vehicle.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I predict it will be better if you do it in two-wheel drive, but it still may not be acceptable to you because it's going to be a rear-wheel drive vehicle when it's in two-wheel drive. And rear-wheel drive vehicles are not great when it comes to snow and ice anyway.
Right, but I think maybe the real solution is buying a new car soon.
I was just going to say.
or a transfer.
If you can't get transferred back to Phoenix.
That's going to happen, too.
Yeah, so. Well...
Yeah,
I wouldn't want to drive this thing around Colorado.
I mean,
Springs.
if you were at Kelly Field in Texas, you'd be all set.
Kelly Field, you sound like my dad.
They don't call them Field anymore.
They don't,
because that was in the days like when it was a field, there was grass growing,
and then That's they right.
now they've put Hot Top. It's now called Kelly Hot Top.
Oh, it's Kelly Air Force Base.
There you go. That's
Sorry it. About that. Well, we called it. We call it Kelly Field. And buy your next vehicle with a center differential.
I sure will.
You won't have this problem. See you, Major
Good luck,
Tom.
Major.
Hey, sure appreciate it. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, fellas. My name is Betty Powderly, and I'm in beautiful downtown Dover, Delaware.
Hi, Betty.
Dover, Delaware. No last names, please, Betty.
Oh, no, just Dover.
Dover.
Oh, okay.
Betty Dover.
Betty Dover, that's it.
Yeah, so yeah. What's up, Betty?
I have a 1986 Chevy Nova, mm-hmm. Four-cylinder. I step my foot on the... First of all, when I get out in the morning, you can't just turn the key and start the car. It won't start. You have to pump it four or five times.
Okay.
Okay. That's no problem. I can deal with that. Mm-hmm. I've even let it run a few minutes to see if that's going to help it. I get out of my development out onto the main road, and my car just... You go to hit the gas, and it doesn't go. It just chug, 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 and I can't get anywhere with it. It just seems like there's no power.
Uh-huh.
No, is there any problem with this car?
Aside from that, no.
So far, it sounds just like my car.
Oh, well, then maybe you can tell me how I can cure it then.
I didn't know it was a problem.
And then, once it heats up, does it work okay?
Not all the time, because a lot of times that'll happen. You go along fine. I'll go up maybe a couple hours driving. And then when I go maybe around to make a turn, it'll do the same thing. It just seems like it stops. It hesitates. And you're ready to have somebody climb up your rear because you're not going fast enough.
Oh, it doesn't just happen when the engine's cold?
No, uh-uh.
Have you taken this anyplace?
Yep, I've had every, and they keep saying to me, they checked it all out. I've had a tune-up done. I've had new points, rotors, spark plug wires. You know, I really take good care of this little bugger.
Okay, well, I suspect that your timing is off.
My timing?
Mm.
Yeah, it's like telling a joke and putting the punchline in the beginning.
in the middle.
You know. In the middle, okay.
But your timing could be off, which could account for the difficulty starting and the lack of performance. It's possible the carburetor, which this has, this is carburetor, the carburetor accelerator pump is weak. Which would also cause the performance problem. It would be worsened when the engine is cold, but it would still be present when the engine was warmed up. And you would most notice it when you slow down and then try to reaccelerate that the thing didn't want to go.
Yeah.
And if you really floored it, it would probably take off.
That's exactly what
so
it does.
So I would ask them to look at the accelerator pump in the carburetor. I would ask them to check the timing and to make sure that the valve timing is correct. That is, the timing belt is okay.
Well, they claim I had all new belts put on it to the tune of several hundred dollars.
Oh, so they replaced the timing belt?
Yes.
Did this problem occur after they replaced it?
Oh, I've had it since day one with the car.
Well, I hate to say it, but I suspect you're going to have the carburetor rebuilt.
Ew.
Or replaced.
Ew.
Which is even worse. It's many hundreds.
Many hundreds?
Well, rebuilding it is cheaper, but they'll screw that up.
Right.
I think part of your problem is that you've been going to mechanics who are too young and never saw a carburetor before.
Now, that's a very strong possibility.
Yeah. I mean, all these guys sort of peach fuzz on their faces and rosy little cheeks, and they
just
say,
right,
do they have
mustaches made out of chocolate milk?
I have to look the next time I go in.
Yeah.
I'll let you know.
I mean, I would get someone who has at least some passing knowledge to put a new accelerator pump in the carburetor.
Okay.
See what that does. If that works, fine, you're going to do that for $50. If it doesn't work, you go spring the $500 for the new carburetor.
Probably $1,000.
$1,000, whatever.
$500, $1,000. What's the difference?
Pretty soon you're talking about real money.
Yeah, pretty soon.
Good luck, Betty from Dover.
Thank you. Okay.
See you later. Bye-bye. All right, it's time to take another temporary cancellation.
All right, this is one of those 60-second cancellations that help us practice for the real thing. Is that
you it? Got it. Stay tuned. We'll be reinstated in just a minute. Yes, I know you.
And even though kids ask their parents why there's no fast-forward button on the radio whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk.
Yeah, like if you're a dentist and want to remind your patients there are things more painful than a root canal.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly. <you know. laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and lame jokes. Boy, that's not a very nice thing to say, is it?
Yeah, well, the truth hurts. Mm. But there's no other way to describe this. Here it is. Tom and Ray are sitting next to each other on a long flight from L.A. to Paris. Tom leans over to Ray and asks if he would like to play a fun game. Ray says he wants to take a nap, so he politely declines, and he rolls over to the window to catch a few winks. Tom persists and explains the game is really easy and a lot of fun. He says, I ask you a question. If you don't know the answer, you pay me $5. Then you ask me a question. If I don't know the answer, I'll pay you $5.
Sure.
Ray says, I don't want it. I just got to get some sleep. Tom says, come on. You know, here's what we'll do. If you don't know the answer, you pay me $5. If I don't know the answer, I'll pay you $50. This catches Ray's attention, and he sees no end to this torment until he plays. So he agrees to the game. Tom asks the first question. What's the exact distance from the Earth to the Moon? Ray doesn't say anything, but he reaches into his wallet, pulls out a $5 bill, and hands it to Tom. Now it's Ray's turn. He says to Tom, what goes up a hill with three legs and comes down on four? Tom looks at him with a puzzled look. He takes out his laptop. He searches all his references, searches the net, the Library of Congress. After about an hour, he wakes up Ray and he hands him $50. Ray politely takes the $50 and turns away to try to get back to sleep. Tom says, so what's the answer? Without a word, Ray reaches into his wallet and hands him $5. He goes back to sleep.
I saw that coming. No, that's pretty lame.
It is pretty lame.
Anyway, if you have a question that's not quite as
lame as that,
give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Maximilian.
Oh, of course.
Maximilian.
Max.
We'll call you Max for short.
Where are you from, Max?
Max, I'm from Valencia, California.
Yes.
And I'm listening to your program. I enjoy it so much. And I feel you two brothers are real mensch. Not only this, you know, your audience are so funny. And I have a problem. And I thought maybe I'll give you a call and you might solve the problem I have.
What did you say about the stench? I didn't get all that.
And well, you're right. And if we can't solve it, our audience can solve it because they're the ones with the brains and we are the morons.
Well, I've been in the car business all my life. That's why I like your talk show. And last Friday the 13th, I had a problem and I can't get out of this problem.
Yeah.
You know, the car salesman, they're standing in the driveway waiting for customers.
Uh-huh.
They work on an app system. And I saw one of my salesmen.
What system?
You know, they call it up system.
Oh, the next guy up.
In the driveway, the first one that
first
comes
one up.
Right. It's his customer.
Yeah. Right, right.
They work on commission.
Of course. Yeah.
And I see one of my salesmen at 5 o'clock go to his bike across the street 10 times and come back to the showroom, change his mind. I say, George, what's the matter with you? He say, Max, it's 5 o'clock. I didn't eat all day. And every time I go to the bike to go to eat, my mind tells me I think a customer will come, and I change my mind. I say, Judge, I can't believe it. You can't live this way. Why won't you call me? I'll take your turn, and you won't lose anything. He said, Max, can I go now? I said, sure. He jumps into his bike. He takes off like crazy, and an old woman just bought a brand-new Camry driving by. Bang, he hits a phone pump. My God, what an lucky day. I run down to the woman. I want to help my salesman. The woman comes out of the car. She looks at the front bumper. She says, my God, I just bought this car. I say, well, ma'am, you could have killed my salesman. She said, I know, I wasn't watching. Right. She was so honest. She said, the salesman didn't show me how to turn on the air condition. It was 100 degrees in Valencia. I'm trying to find this air condition. And bang! Now, she thought she hit him. I know
that's
that
good.
He hit her. So I relaxed. I said, oh, thanks God. I said, ma'am, you're so honest, I'll take care of you. She said, you will? Yeah. I said, I have a big body shop. I'll put a new bumper, and we'll forget about the... I like your honesty that you said that you weren't watching. And I saw how my stupid salesman took off. He looked to the right instead of to the left and took off with his bike. So I take her to the body shop, and I call Rick. I say, Rick, call Toyota. They'll send you the same color bumper, put four screws, put the new bumper, and that's the end of the story. So he calls Toyota, and they send him a bumper. And the woman tells me, Max, can I go across the street? There's Target. There's Mervyn Shopping Center while he'll fix my bumper. I said, great idea. And
take the bicycle, right?
No. So she goes across the street. Poor woman didn't know that the body shop closes at 6. Oh. 8:30, she comes with 20 bags. She's looking around, no car. The body shop is closed, there's nobody.
I got it. She buys a new car from George.
No, Rod, listen to this. This is a real story. I have a problem.
Oh, there's a problem at the end of this story.
They called me from down the street. He said, Max, there's an old nice woman screaming her Toyota, her dog. I said, what dog? I didn't know she had a dog in the car. I take my keys. I run to the body shop. I open this huge metal door, you know, three doors at a time with the chains.
Yeah.
And what do I see? They pushed 35 cars behind her car. Everything went in. I go to the back seat of the car. I see a cage with a little schnauzer. He's dead.
No.
He's with his legs up. I started sweating. My heart started beating. This stupid body man put the car next to the paint booth. Everything locked. Concrete roof in the body shop, 110 degrees. I start sweating. My heart started beating. I said, that's all I need now. I went crazy. I'm lucky I'm working 20 years in Valencia. I know everybody. Right away, I go to the phone, and I call a customer of mine that has a pet store. And I say, Joe, I have a big problem. He said, Max, what's happened? I said, they just killed the schnauzer in my body shop. He said, Max, how did they kill him? I said, it doesn't matter. Do you have a schnauzer? He said, Max, I don't. You know, I like you. If I had a schnauzer, I'll give you one. I said, Joe, you have to help me. He said, I'll help you. He goes to his computer, start locating, and he said, Max, you're lucky.
The schnauzer
20 miles, 20 miles from here in Acton, there's a German breeder named Hans shows 12 schnauzers. I said, really? I take the car 300 miles an hour. I come to this breeder. I put the schnauzer on his table, and I say, Hans,
match him up.
I need a miniature schnauzer like this one. He looks at me. He said, Max, you're in the wrong place. I said, what do you mean? They told me you have 12. He said, Max, I do have 12, but those 12 that I have, they're champions. They're purebred. I bring them from Germany. I have all the certificates. This miniature schnauzer will cost you from $15 to $2,000 a piece. I say, what? $1,200 to $2,000? I counted every pocket. I had $375. I say, Hans, I don't need a champion. I don't need a purebred. I want to replace this dead one. All I have is $375. Please help me. He said, Max, you don't want to breed them? I said, no, I want to replace this dead one. He said, wait a minute, I have something for you. He goes to his backyard. He comes with a miniature schnauzer. He said, Max, you're lucky. He's a year old. He's home trained. I love him. I don't have any certificate. I'll give it to you as is for $275. I said, great.
No warranty?
No, as is.
As is, right.
I give him right away the $275. It was a salt and pepper gray schnauzer. He takes the dead one. He puts him in a box. He takes the live one. He puts him in a cage. I give him the $275, and I drive down to the dealership, and the woman is walking in the showroom nervous. I come, I say, thanks God. I couldn't believe what I found, the same dog. I say, honey, here's your keys. Here's your car outside. Let me help you with all the stuff you bought. She said, Max, don't help me. I had it today. She takes the stuff. She goes to the car. She looks from the front window. She looks in again. She turns right away to the other side of the car. She looks and says, inside the car. She threw all the stuff she has holding in her hand. She comes to the showroom screaming, Max, in German, she screamed, this is nicht mein Hund. That's not my dog. I say, what dog? I say, Max, don't play games with me. If you won't get me my dog right away, I'll call the police. You'll have a big problem. I say, ma'am, I swear to God, I don't know. Is this your car? He say, Max, when I drove by here, I had a dead dog in the car. I said, what dead dog?
I could see it coming, you know.
What dead dog? She said, Max, where's my dog? I said, I have it. She said, where? I said, Hans. She said, how did you get to Hans? I said, well, I thought they killed him in my body shop. So we went back to Hans. She saw him sitting in a box. She said, Max, you're lucky you have my dog. I thought I'm dying. I didn't know if to laugh or to cry. She takes her dead dog and she wants to take off. I say, Mom, I really apologize. What happened? Say, Max, you're something else. Let me tell you. I never had any children. This dog is 17 years and 3 months old. And this morning I had to pick up my new Toyota. She went to the bedroom to take the dog. He was dead. So she went crazy. She calls her sister. And she tell him, I don't know what to do. Snoopy died, and I have to pick up a new car. He's all my life. So her sister says, what do you want? He's almost 18 years old. He's blind. Time came. Thanks God you got rid of him. Say, it's easy for you, but that's all my life. She said, well, what do I do? He said, I'll tell you what you do. If you come to Thousand Oaks, the pet hospital, in 48 hours, they'll freeze him, and they'll stuff him, and it looks like alive, and you'll have him forever in your bedroom. That's some dormity, something like this. So she took the dog, and she ran to pick up her car, and that's what happened. And she takes off with the dead dog, and I'm sitting there with my live dog, trying to give him back to the Hans, the breeder. He had the sign, no refunds. And he said, Max, I'm running a business. You own this dog. I said, I don't need this dog. Didn't you see what happened? He said, Max, I don't care. Dead dog, no dead dog. I'm running a business. It's your dog. I said, okay, can I leave it in consignment? He said, sure. I said, give me half the money. I just want him to a good home. He said, Max, we'll see what holidays are coming, see what I'll do. Guess what? This Friday, I get a note from him that he wants $75 a week to feed him. Now I have a payment.
All because
now
you were
trying. Now I have a payment. So what I need help from you, if your audience can find a real good home for this miniature salt and pepper schnauzer. I'll really appreciate it. He's a good dog. He's a year old, but no paperwork.
No paperwork. But house trained.
He's house trained.
He's house trained.
Right.
Okay. I mean, this is a business we haven't started yet. I mean, we've been matching up people, but yeah, we've never matched up pets with people.
Yeah.
So we will do that, absolutely.
What I really wanted is to give it to the old woman that her dog passed away.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I felt bad for her.
Well, this one could play with the other one. It wouldn't be too exciting.
Well, it's not a joke. It's a true story.
No, I know it's a joke. You know, you couldn't have made up a story like this. This I'm had to be true. You. I knew the story was true from the beginning because you couldn't have made it up.
I really want this dog to have a good home because, you know, the whole story is sad in a way.
Sure.
Well, you're a good guy, Max, and you tell a great story. Nobody can tell that story like you told it. And we will find. What, do you have a name for this little schnauzer?
No, I don't have a name.
That's the first thing we have to do is come up with a name.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, we may
we'll
have to
work on a name, and we'll put ads in the paper every day.
I like this little schnauzer. I go to him every weekend. I have no problem giving him my name.
Yeah, I was going to say
Max
his name should
good.
Be Max.
Max is
yeah,
good.
His name should be Max.
Okay, we'll
don't
do
you
it.
Think so?
Yeah, Max? I think so. Max is it.
We're looking for a home for little Max.
Okay, sir.
Okay.
Good talking to you.
Thanks for calling.
Our pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We're gonna find a home for Max.
Anybody who, first of all, lives in California would be nice, so within driving distance.
He ships. He'll ship.
He'll ship. I'm afraid of shipping the little schnauzer on a plane. If you're interested in the little schnauzer, Max, he didn't say whether Max was a male or female.
I think he's a male.
Must be male.
Yeah, I think it's a male.
Yeah.
Yeah, no papers, though.
But no papers. You don't need papers. He's house trained. Just let us know, and we'll make a match up here.
Yes, we will.
Oh,
well, it's
man.
Happened again. You have squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher-Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman-Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisors, just back from the Port of Spain, Quiche Lorraine, Candy Cane, Madeleine, and Cheap Champagne Weight Gain, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Novera. Our staff intuitionist is Ivan Inkling. Our footwear consultant is Susan Sharks. Our empathy coach is Enzo Watt.
Empathy coach is Enzo Watt?
And so what?
Oh, and so what?
Our urgent response coordinator is Candace Waite. The pre-recorded portions of today's show were selected by our staff librarian, all been heard before. Our personal hygiene advisor from the Tokyo office is Oteka Shawa. Our auto seat tester is Fitz Matush. Our mother-in-law liaison is Stella Payne Diaz. Our Russian chauffeur is Pekov and Dropoff. And our staff tailor is Hugh Jass. There's a lot of turnover in the staff here at the end of the year. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Louis Dewey, known to the iPod-wearing Trustafarians in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and don't drive like my brother.
And don't drive like my brother.
Here, here. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1452, download other mind-numbing episodes, and check out our CD collections and Car Talk extremely casual wear all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, ever wonder what's going to break next on your particular car?
Yeah, everything.
Well, in your car, yeah. But for everyone else, we now have enough data to predict what's likely to go wrong and at what mileage you need to start worrying about it.
Really?
Yeah, you can now see the most frequent complaints for your particular year, make, and model and get a jump on worrying. Check out our brand new car complaints database all week at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Malyotzis everywhere think to themselves, you know, Smith has a nice ring to it whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.